Professor Denno, in the community that follows executions and the death penalty around the country, it seems as though there was a lot of attention paid to last night's execution in Stark, correct?
Yes, there's a lot of attention paid to the execution for several reasons. I mean, number one, as you were just pointing out, the execution used a drug that had never been used on a human being before, as far as we know, certainly not in this country. And number two, that there were other available means of executions that Florida could have used. It was an unknown about why they did this. Number three, they said it was a more humane approach, but they never offered documentation for that reason, which was incredibly odd. And lastly, this goes to the issue that this is a drug that cannot be used to euthanize animals, and there were problems with the execution.
What were the problems?
Well, the problems were that the inmate died more slowly than inmates typically do in a situation like this, that he seemed to experience pain. Of course, this depends entirely on eyewitness reports, but he certainly was having complications. And the challenge in Florida is that the second drug is a paralytic agent. So if the inmate was having more challenges, he would have been paralyzed and not able to express or communicate what was happening to him.
Now, the state says that the reason they use this new trio of drugs is that they have been running out of the traditionally used drug, pentobarbital, since the manufacturer placed a ban on its use. So that appears to be the underlying story here.
Well, that's right. And states, you know, all death penalty states have been running out of these drugs. They just haven't done what Florida has done. They're waiting for new supplies of the drugs. They're trying to find an alternative. This rush to execute when there are no drugs available and when there's a reliance on a drug that nobody knows anything about is appalling in my mind.
What would you say to those, and we already have some callers in the queue, who would push back and say, well, what difference does it make? What sort of method is used that the focus should be on the victims of the crime that this man was convicted of?
Well, under the Eighth Amendment Cruel and Unusual Punishment Clause, this is part of our Constitution. Inmates are supposed to be executed in a procedure that does not violate their rights, that's not cruel and unusual. This was certainly unusual because this drug had never been used, and there were indications that it was cruel. So I understand that people have very strong feelings about the victims, and there are good reasons for that. Nonetheless, unless they want to change the laws of this country and the founding laws, then they, on some level, there has to be some understanding that this is what we are supposed to abide by. And this is what I think more critical, this is what Florida was trying to do. They're trying to come up with a procedure that works. The problem is they can't. So to say just focus on the victim is not really seeing that the Department of Corrections is challenged in terms of its competency to do this.
And if you're just joining us, we're discussing last night's controversial execution of a death row inmate in Stark, Florida, as 51-year-old death row inmate William Happ was executed using an experimental new drug cocktail. Critics say that the method of execution could violate the Eighth Amendment prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. We want your thoughts on this. We'll go to the phones in just a moment at 549-2937. Let me ask you as well, Doctor. Florida is on pace now, perhaps to beat Texas in the pace of executions, correct?
That's right. And I think, you know, because of that pressure and that goal, Florida is doing whatever it can wrongfully to try to execute people. They're using drugs that are readily available rather than the drugs that they should be using to execute someone humanely.
And so you follow this in your capacity at Fordham University. Can you give us the national picture? Florida, of course, has the death penalty. How many states now have banned the death penalty? How many still use it?
There are 32 states in our country that have the death penalty. The great majority of those states don't execute anyone. So there's really maybe about a third of the states that are quite active. I wanted to emphasize that Florida is very unusual because nearly all the active death penalty states, including, say, for example, Texas, that accounts for one-third of all executions, are switching from three drugs to one drug. So for Florida to keep this three-drug protocol is highly unusual when so many other states are changing.
Meanwhile, there's another case, a condemned prisoner named Etheria Jackson. This individual has a hearing coming up here in Jacksonville, actually, in November in federal court, challenging the use of this drug, midazolam, in his execution. When you look at the possible legal ramifications of last night's execution, what type of precedent could be set? What type of challenges do you foresee?
Well, given that there were problems and eyewitness accounts of problems in the execution last night, that could help this next challenge that this inmate is making. I did want to emphasize that the inmate last night his attorney didn't challenge this method of execution. It seemed like the inmate was what they call a volunteer inmate, and they just wanted to stop all means of preventing his execution. So in this next challenge, you'll be seeing a much bigger fight, and what happened last night will fuel that.
Let's go to your calls right now at 549-2937. Thanks for all the calls this morning. Lauren in Arlington. Good morning, Lauren. Good morning. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to call in. I'm not a fan of the, death penalty to begin with, so I'm not too familiar with the different drugs that are used. Midazolam, you can save her, said that's easier to say. It's the brand name.
But yeah, I believe I might have mispronounced it. Thank you for that.
I'm a pharmacist, so I kind of am very well aware of how to pronounce these. But anyway, Versed seems to me a newer, safer drug. It's titratable, so you have to do increased doses to get different effects just depending on the person. I was wondering if they have some kind of protocol for doing that.
Thank you for that question, Lauren. A question from a pharmacist, Professor Denno.
This is great. It's great that you're calling in. Part of the challenge with these execution methods is that they don't provide information. The state of Florida has provided very little information about what they're doing. So, I mean, you're raising really good questions, but it's an unknown. They keep on saying it's because of safety and security reasons, but there's absolutely no justification for that.
Let's go to Lynn in St. Augustine. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for your call today. Oh, we lost Lynn's call, but it's 549-2937 to join the show here on First Coast Connect. Ken in Jacksonville is with us. Hi, Ken. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. It seems to me that, whenever we have these executions, we always end up with the people who are anti-death penalty that try to come up with, whatever they can possibly come up with to steer attention to the execution being cruel and unusual or what have you. But, it's clear that the vast majority of our country is for the death penalty. And also the drug that's in question here, from what I understand, listening just the other day, they were talking about it. One dose of this drug is enough to render somebody completely unconscious, void of all pain or thought or anything. And from what I understand, the dose that's given to this to the death penalty during the death penalty is 100 times that. So I would imagine that whatever they saw, any kind of complications would possibly be, maybe nerves or anything, but the person would be completely unaware of anything going on. And that's what I have.
Sure. And that's Ken in Jacksonville. Hi, Ken, and thanks for the call. Dr. Denno, what about that? What about Ken?
Yeah, Ken, you raised two really good issues. Number one, I wanted to say that a number of the states in this country, and this is documented, have actually been purchasing drugs illegally. They've been getting them from Europe, and there was an FDA lawsuit several months ago saying that was illegal. It was one against the FDA because the drugs weren't approved by the FDA. So we do know, there is a record. In fact, in 11 of these states, the drugs were actually seized seized because the state should never have been using them.
But not Florida?
No, not Florida, because Florida was using pentobarbital or something else. They weren't importing. But this is to say that there's has been substantial illegal activity. So when people say this is just sort of a made up or a concocted argument, it's like saying that your neighbor shouldn't be complaining if somebody comes in and steals their silverware, because there's been clear evidence of illegal activity on the part of states, an enormous amount of secrecy about what they're doing. So these challenges are about states, Department of Corrections breaking the law, essentially. That's number one. Number two, the drugs that are being used aren't being used because they're the best drugs. They're being used because states have nothing available to use. So the drug that was used last night was a drug that's never been used. And it's not, just so you know, Ken, it's a drug that cannot be used to euthanize animals in the state of Florida. That's by statute. So
that's due to concerns about its potential effects?
Absolutely. You cannot use, you can only use sodium thiopental. This was the original sedative. And you cannot use the paralytic agent on an animal because it's cruel. And there's a Florida statute saying just that. So when people like me make these comments, it's because there are laws. I mean, if you can't use it against an animal, this is both the paralytic and the third drug, the potassium chloride. Neither of those drugs, including the first drug that was used last night, not one of those drugs, not one of the three drugs used on that inmate can ever be used in the state of Florida by statute on an animal to euthanize that animal because of risk of cruelty to that animal. So when we're raising these arguments, there are laws in place to protect living beings, but not to protect inmates. And number three, I just wanted to go on the dosage issue. There have been countless, and I have them documented, I've been writing on this topic for over two decades, there have been countless executions where the people executing the inmates are so ill-equipped and so unskilled that they cannot even inject the drug into the inmate or it starts leaking. So the idea that this inmate is going to be safely injected with this huge amount of drug and just die as a result, there's evidence that this doesn't happen. Indeed, in 2009 in Ohio, there was an inmate who, after 2 hours, they couldn't even inject the first drug in him. And they had a whole pile of people, including a doctor, and they ended up, he's still alive. It was the first lethal injection execution in this country where the inmate survived an execution because they couldn't even get the first drug in his vein. And he had no physiological problems with him. It's just, if you have a lot of incompetent people doing this, they're not even going to be able to inject this drug or all of the drug that people say is going to go into this inmate. It starts leaking. We have evidence of leaking tubes, of syringes popping out of inmates' arms. There's just a whole host of problems that nobody apart from just the drug and the amount of the drug.
Let's go to Gordon in San Marco. Hi, Gordon. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. I think, I just wanted to add, I think this is one, and I know a number of people call this, you get these crackerjack calls and comments on these topics that are somewhat unbelievable. And again, we're talking about the state of Florida. First of all, this is a prisoner who's being executed for a crime he committed in 1985. This is 30 years old right now. 30 years old that he's been in prison. One thing that many people may not know is there's a very, very powerful prison lobby in this state that controls a lot of our state legislature through their dollars. And that comes down to the legalization of marijuana. That comes down to petty crime, petty theft. That comes down to a lot of the laws are made to keep people in prison longer. And not that that has anything to do with this, but that prison lobby absolutely, positively has a lot to do with what happens here, as well as the appeal system that we have for death row inmates. The fact that many of these things and the death penalty is typically upheld by the conservative right. The conservative right, typically the religious right, who typically, the irony in this is unbelievable. What would Jesus do? Death penalty doesn't appear much in the New Testament. And the fact that doctors, nurses, and qualified, as your spokesperson said, cannot perform these. They cannot make these happen. And it's against their
the Hippocratic Oath?
Yes. I mean, they can't do this. So what you have are basically untrained people performing these, and these are botched all the time. They don't make the big news. They don't make it because people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear, oh, we as a society tried to kill someone. The public wants to wipe their hands clean of most of what this is about.
Thanks for the call, Gordon. A lot in his call, prison privatization, which he touched on, that's another issue. But Dr. Denno, let me ask you, of course...
Those are great comments, by the way.
Let me ask you, Dr. Denno, a previous caller said, look, people that complain about the death penalty need to realize that the majority of Americans still approve of it. What about that statistic?
Well, that's right. And the majority of citizens in Europe also approve of the death penalty, and European countries don't have it. If you did a poll in London or Italy, Italy is the strongest anti-death penalty country, at least on the surface. But if you polled its citizens, the majority of them would also be for the death penalty. I think what happens, I mean, there's a realization in Europe for the reasons that have been stated, that sometimes citizens don't actually know how these punishments are carried out or what the court system is actually doing, and it's for the states to sort of control all of our urges, and that includes me. You know, when you hear a really terrible crime, our human urge to go out and inflict as much cruelty on the person who committed that crime as possible. It's up to the state to control that and to ensure that there's a fair procedure, particularly since we know that innocent people have been executed, and particularly since we know a grossly disproportionate number of minorities and low-income individuals are executed because they don't have they also don't have legal representation.
Here's an email from a listener. Florida needs to join the 21st century before it executes more people. I am actually not opposed to the death penalty, but the state of Florida can't be trusted with this. If you're just joining the program, Florida executed another inmate in Stark last night using a controversial drug cocktail, using pharmaceuticals that are actually banned by statute on the use of animals. Lots of calls at 549-2937. Let's go to Pam in St. Augustine. Hi, Pam. Good morning.
I just want to make a couple of comments that I haven't heard so far. One is that I feel that Governor Scott is doing this, and I'm a Floridian, and Florida is not well represented here, and I'm not represented in this tragedy. But I think he is doing it for showmanship. It is costing the state of Florida a great deal of money to have people on death row. He could save the Florida $50 million by putting a stay on all executions.
Pam, go ahead.
A quarter
Pam.
Of the people on death row have been exonerated in our state. So it's not a done deal that all these people on death row are guilty.
Pam, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Pam. I want to try to get a few more opinions on the line and on the air. Henry emails the show. Look, these inmates deserve it. If they're guilty, and if it was my family member, I would want them to suffer. Such strong emotions around this issue, of course. Let's go to Jay in Starbucks, somewhere in a Starbucks in Jacksonville. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I've been listening to this conversation, and I really enjoy the spirited discussion. But just a couple of comments come to my mind. It is true that America has a very flawed system. Unfortunately, there's too much big money involved in everything. And the woman who was just speaking before, I failed to remember her name.
Pam.
She said, pardon me?
Oh, her name is Pam.
Pam. Pam talked about, too much control of the state. And then in another breath, she said, well, the government is supposed to do crowd control. They're supposed to protect us. Well, we all have morals. We all know what's right to do. We don't have a mob mentality. But my main point is, what are we going to do with these people in a society that breeds this type of person to commit such violent actions towards another human being? Are we to preserve their rights and their life for as long as possible and execute them like they're floating away on a cloud? They, most cases, 95 to 99% of the people that are on death row deserve to be there. They lose their rights when they're convicted. They need to be disposed of. The details of how difficult, how it hurt, what he was thinking, what he was doing, you know, delays of 30 years to kill a killer at a cost of $50,000 per year per inmate. It's we got to get rid of these people.
How can anybody in a society live? Jay, thank
without
you.
Protection.
Thank you for those thoughts, Jay. And Professor Denno, Jay reflects the views of many Americans. They're not really interested in parsing the details of the execution. So, what would you say to Jay to represent the legal aspects of this, which is what you focus on?
Well, absolutely, and I can understand the emotion underlying it. First of all, these people aren't being let out on the streets. They're going to be in prison for the rest of their lives. For many inmates, that's worse than being executed. The inmate last night did not fight against his execution. I mean, he asked his attorneys just to drop the appeals. He wanted to die. So if you really want to get back at people, you keep them in prison. That's number one. Number two, there have been countless studies showing that keeping people in prison for their lives is much cheaper than executing them. I know that goes against common sense or what you might think, but the death penalty, as Pam was indicating, is so prohibitively expensive that it's cheaper to keep people on death row for life, and that includes Florida in terms of the economics of this. Lastly, the fact that this person or people might be on death row for 30 years, that's not because of the inmate or because of defense attorneys. In state after state, in case after case, it's simply because the criminal justice system forgets about these people. And they just don't do anything at all until they start getting pressure. So there's huge ambivalence in this country. I mean, a lot of people have been saying, well, you know, the majority of Americans want the death penalty. But when a lot of those Americans are on an actual case having to make a decision that they're responsible for in terms of executing people, a lot of times they won't. They won't decide for death because that's when they're personally responsible. This is all to say that this is something that the state has decided to do. The state has decided not to execute everyone. The state executes just a few people. And we already know that the few people that they execute are often not the people who've committed the worst crimes.
Finally, a comment on our Facebook page. Florida is moving in the opposite direction of the rest of the country, where states are increasing moratoriums on executions and reducing death penalty sentencing. Florida has a huge percentage of the new death penalty cases, and one-third of those come from Jacksonville. So, Dr. Denno, as you said, more than 30 states have the death penalty, but few actually use it. My final question to you, where are the trend lines on the death penalty headed in this country?
Well, first of all, I mean, there is a decline of executions, and opinion polls showing people are for the death penalty are declining. In other words, more people are becoming against the death penalty. Number two, I thought it was a very interesting statistic that you offer for Jacksonville, because a recent study just came out showing that 2% of the country is responsible for the majority of executions. And so it is not because in those particular areas there are more crimes or worse people. It simply shows how much bias there is in the system toward executions. So we have a country where, you know, some people are not being executed, and other people in certain parts of the country, particularly in Texas, particular counties there, are being executed more, and that's simply not fair. And thirdly, as we were saying, the drug and the execution procedure that Florida was using last night contravenes where other states are going in terms of their drugs and what they're trying to do.
Well, we thank you for joining us this morning. Thanks for calling into the program.
Thank you.
Professor Deborah Denno is Fordham University School of Law in New York's lethal injection expert. She joined us from New York with more about last night's execution in Stark.